Welcome to Sparking Success with Aaron Opalewski. Aaron brings you conversations that spark innovation, cultivate leadership skills, and pave the way for your business success. In each episode, we delve into the dynamic world of business and leadership, exploring strategies, insights, and success stories that fuel your professional journey. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sparking Success with Aaron Opalewski. My name is EJ Swanson. I'm your host, and I am so thankful to be here with you today. Aaron, good afternoon. How are you, man?
Good afternoon. Feels like morning to me still.
I know.
I got in a little bit later today than I normally do. So
yeah, but you were taking care of some good dad duties this morning and, making sure that your little girl knows and sees and, just overall being a great dad. So I love hearing that. That's awesome.
That's the goal. Trying to be.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, I always say to people, like, I'm just trying to be a better dad, better husband, you know, better follower and, better coworker. So
that's right.
I love that.
Crave improvement.
That's right. Yep. Talk about it. Well, you know, today on Sparking Success, we're going to talk about anchoring achievements to key objectives. And Aaron, I know this has been a practice for you over the years, and it's been an important practice. It's looked different in different seasons and in different ways. Talk to us a little bit about achievement today and how you take those achievements and anchor them to the objectives that you have in business and why that's important for us.
Yeah, well, I think it starts with like, hey, what is, you know, not everyone is like achievement driven.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are.
Yep.
You know, I am. You know, a lot of the people that we try and hire, you know, this works back to the six human needs that we've talked about. But if you're significance, recognition driven, if you're growth driven, like, well, achievements are something that can like be something that helps you feel that way. Like,
yeah.
Like you're accomplishing that, you're fulfilling that thing that you're desiring, right? So I think in general, it's a good way to build a track record, build confidence, build self-confidence, and also the ability to have confidence that you can maybe teach other people how to achieve things as well.
Right? Yeah.
Like your experience and success. You know, Ed Milet says it well. He says you're best set up to help someone in an area that you were once weak in and have got better.
That's so good.
I butchered that right there. That's not how he says it. He says it better than me.
Right.
But that's the general concept. Like you're best set up to help the person that you used to be there. That was closer.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I love about you, Aaron, is you're strategic about the things you say. You're strategic about the way you say them. And as we were, doing our prep for this episode, I loved hearing you talk about the difference between a goal and an objective. Mm-hmm. Would you explain that for everyone? Why you use objective versus goal?
Yeah, well, I think it's an important language difference, at least it is to me. And there's some people like, oh, that's extreme, like whatever. Well, my opinion, these are the types of things that like if you're going to keep achieving and going to like a higher gear, what you say and how you say it matters, you know, and how you view it, your mindset behind it. So when I think of a goal, you know, I have goals. I think everyone has goals.
Sure.
And we want to achieve those goals. But a goal, you know, for some people is like a wish or a dream. You know, it's something that they're aspiring to, right? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I think you should have big goals and dreams and aspire to things in all areas of your life. Like, absolutely. But an objective to me is like, okay, we have a mission. We have a blueprint. We have something that we need to do. And a lot of times I'll tie it like, it's not just about me. It's about the team.
Mm-hmm.
It's about my family.
Yeah.
It's about others. You know, so, and how do me pushing towards that, how does me pushing towards that objective help all those other people? Kind of get to that, I think, in our next point.
Yeah.
But like, an objective is something that you're required, like, it's part of your mission.
Okay.
I need to accomplish this objective.
Got it.
And I like that best when you're doing that not just for yourself, but for others.
Yeah.
Whereas the goal is like kind of like a wish, or you have an outlet on like, okay, yeah, that's my goal, but I did good on this. We didn't get all the way there. But, you know, set big goals, and if you know, you shoot for the stars and land at the moon,
yep,
you know, we're still good.
Yeah. Do you feel like that comes from being jaded around everybody just throwing out goals? Or what I hear you saying is that objective is so tied, and as it's tied, when you have objectives, you also set plans against those to get it done. And I think sometimes, if I'm hearing you correctly, what people do with goals is they just throw out a goal, and then it's like, I hope I get there.
So what I found, and you know, this is for me personally, it hasn't really mattered what I call
what I call it
a goal,
okay,
or an objective.
Okay, that's good.
Because I'm going to go after, you know, accomplishing my goals.
Yeah.
But me as a communicator and a leader to other people in setting something that's bigger than, you know, myself,
yep,
right? Where, you know, you don't have full control over that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Or even in my goals that I can't accomplish, you know, on my own, right? Which is almost all of them at this point requires it's so much more than just about me. Like it's almost comical to like, I can't even think of it that way.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay, well, explain, what's your definition of a goal? It might be different for everybody, right? And so the more someone's definition is like, oh, that'd be a nice to have, or someday, or like, yeah, I there's people that accomplish their goals, and then you see people that, you know, that's why, like, New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. New year, new goal.
People are, yeah, new year, new me, blah, 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 all this stuff. Like, people start out with good intentions,
yep,
and then they kind of fall off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was their goal. Okay. So I know more than not, like, people are going to struggle with that type of thing. What's going to help them do better with it? Well, in my opinion, when it's an objective, it's like hey, this objective is tied to your roles and responsibility on how you contribute to an organization, to your team, your sports team, to your family, you know, whatever it is, to something bigger than you. This is your part of the mission. This is the part of the mission you own. You look at, I think where I first heard this was in the military sense. So let's think about that. This is the ultimate. This is life and death.
Hmm.
And there's objectives. Do you think the goal is to go in and, you know, save someone and, you know, we'll see what happens, but this is the, no, it's an objective. It's a mission.
Yeah.
And your part of that objective and mission is life or death for the rest of your team.
Yeah.
To be on your part. So that's where I think I first heard it. And it's like not necessarily going to be life or death, but it may be the difference between, or probably will be the difference between accomplishing a team mission or not accomplishing it, is if the individuals can do their objectives or cross over their objectives. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does.
But that's
it
how
does.
I
that's
think
tons
of it.
Tons of clarity. Yeah.
And it's like someone that's like, if they're thinking, oh, that'd be nice to do on their goals, well, I can get them to clearly understand, like, no, this is my responsibility to do this part of the mission when it's their objective.
Yeah, that's good. You know, there's a thread that I feel you saying, and there's this aspect that you attach a deeper meaning to the objective. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah, well, I think that's where, you know, we kind of go next within this is we want to, okay, what's the objective? And we're kind of talking about how to potentially do that or paint a picture on, you know, how a team needs to work together. But it's like, okay, I want to attach a meaning to it. The first meaning that I want to try and attach is how it impacts others on the team.
That's good.
Because I think most people, I think, whether they act with good intentions or they get off track, I think most people want to have good intentions. They want to be good to other people. They want to be a good teammate. But then life can get in the way.
Yeah.
You know, and some people are more disciplined than others in working through that. Well, so let me start by attaching, you know, objectives, you know, the meaning to like how it affects others on the team. Because for some people, that's what they need.
That's
that
what drives them, or
to like, man, when I don't make my 30 calls in this area, when I make 29 instead of 31 and I miss my part of this, mm-hmm. right? That's impacting everyone else on my team.
Right.
I'll make these two extra calls.
Yeah. It's like the old adage, you know, in when we're growing up in school and stuff like that, right? You get into a group project and the one person, you know, doesn't pull their part.
Yeah.
And within that, if they're not attached to those other people, mm-hmm. they very easily just let it go. Right. And then the Correct. Whole project fails, or a big chunk of it.
Correct.
And that's really true within the marketplace as well. Like there is, you know, a substantial meaning around the people that you work with, the people that you're providing for. And when that objective is tied to people, there's just more to it.
Sure. So there's that. And then there's knowing the person and what their needs are.
Yeah.
And what drives them. And so the better I understand that, I can also, because, you know, I think it's not, we're all inherently like want to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think that we should, you know, I believe, you know, it's the analogy of like, if you're on a plane and the masks come down, put your mask on first, because you can't really help others until you take care of yourself.
Right.
I think that's true in a lot of aspects of life, specifically in business. Like I need to make sure I'm owning my part of the objective first and doing really well before I can help others.
Yeah.
So, okay. It's okay to have, you know, as long as you have that other side, right, where it's like, man, I want to do well for my team. I want to help my team. And I think a lot of people do. It's okay to take care of yourself first, or you're better set up to be a person that can help them, right?
Yeah.
If you are handling your own stuff. So what motivates them? You know, what are their needs? Like, and how can I tie this objective to helping them accomplish whatever they want to do?
How does this play, Aaron, within your family, the objectives that are, you know, set before you that you set? How is that, you know, attaching the meeting for your family affect you when you're doing this?
Well, for me, it's big. You know, I want to set a good example, you know, for my family. I want to achieve and provide, you know, for my family. I want to show my girls that anything's possible if they put their mind to it and they show discipline, commitment, grit, you know, all these things, right?
Yeah.
You get more of that perspective as you, I think, get in a serious relationship, get married, have children, or you know, you take on more responsibilities, right? So I'm fortunate, and I'll give you an example. I won't use any names, but I made a lot of mistakes as a younger guy.
Sure.
But here's something I got right. I got into a mental state, whereas, you know, I wanted, you know, certain things in life, and was very money motivated, very growth oriented, very significance and recognition. Like, yeah, I want that, you know, I want that acknowledgement. I want that award. I want, you know, this and that. Like, those were important to me. But I was able to get into a state, even though I wasn't like always thinking about this, right? I'm not sitting here telling you I thought about this every day.
Right.
But I thought about, like, you know what? I am single, you know, I'm working hard, I'm motivated by all these things, but I'm also working for my future family, who I don't even know yet.
Well, that's, you know, that's important for young, you know, leaders out there, that maybe they don't have that.
So I go to that, not always, right, but if I see that in specifically, maybe this will change because I have daughters now, you know, mm-hmm. down the road, I haven't, like, in one-on-one conversations or with a team, like I've spoken to like younger guys, you know, that way. And, yep. and not always, right? But if I can tell that that's something that's important to them, and even if they're single now, I'm like, man, that's something. If you could go back now, you give yourself more of that advice.
Yeah.
That was a good frame of mind to get into.
Mm-hmm.
That was you attaching meaning to an objective. And I would have done, you know, poured a bunch of on that and made some say, hey, don't make this and this decision, but you're really thinking right here. Go down this path more.
Yeah.
So when I see that in somebody, right, or even again, like we've had, you know, people, you know, we're in real life, you know,
yeah.
someone that's in a relationship, they break up, that's hard for them, and maybe they were thinking they were heading that direction and they weren't. And like, it's not pulling that out as a tactic. But I see myself like in the past in that. And I'm like, man, I know like this is good for them right now. Cause they're not necessarily thinking this way right now, even though maybe they were.
Right.
And then that happens. And it's like, hey, like keep doing this stuff for these reasons, because your future self's going to thank you for that. So yeah. Again, I don't pull that out all the time. But as, you know, just young adults, like a lot of us have multiple relationships or, you know, if people come, I mean, I want to have a family someday and stuff. So I want to hear that stuff. I'm listening to someone, not like dumping it all on them right away, but as I get to know them, or, you know, if they're asking me certain questions and something like this pertains, or I can share, you know, some things from my past, I'll try and give them encouragement that way.
Yeah, so. I love that. And, you know, the meaning attached to it, I think, can go so many different ways. But, you know, both, you know, the dependence and desire for helping others, you know, that's certainly at the core of everything within your companies. And it's in your life, too. I've seen that in so many different ways. There's also this thought that you've developed over the year of anchoring achievement with, you know, an object when you reach, you know, an objective.
Yeah.
I've thought about that before, but not a ton. I don't think I was as dialed in on it to go like, okay, when this objective is reached, I may say like, here's a reward or those type of things. Unpack that some more for us.
Yeah. So not everyone may like this. Not everyone may agree with it. And again, it depends. Like this works for me.
Yeah.
This is something that, that I like. One, I think it's a nice way to, well, I'll just get into it.
Yeah.
It works for me. We'll see where it goes.
Okay.
I can talk a lot on this.
Sure. But
I'll give you a story, you know, so now I do this intentionally.
Okay.
When I was younger and starting to have, you know, some success, I think I did it, subconsciously at first. And then I started to see where it actually like help me out at times. And I'll try and explain that. So, again, cause I'm achievement, recognition, significance driven.
Yep.
You know, I didn't grow up with a ton of money. At one point I had $6.23 to my bank account. One of the other stories I'll tell, some of the younger guys is one of the things that really drove me, just to be honest, is I didn't have all those things right. And I had a girl that I really liked at the time. And, you know, I thought I was in love with, or maybe I was at the moment. I don't know. Like, it's so far gone now, it's kind of comical.
Right.
But at the time, she just broke up with me one day out of nowhere, and I was devastated. It was like I had been in one other serious relationship that went pretty south, and then I didn't really have a relationship for 3 years because I was not trusting that would work out well.
Right.
Let my guard down. Fell head over heels for this girl. I thought things were going great, you know, for a period of time, and then just like wham. And then what do you know, like a week later, find out she's out, you know, with this older guy, family owns a business, very wealthy. And I'm not talking bad about that person or
right,
but it upset me.
Yeah. It did something within you,
but you know, you have opportunities in life to like, life's what you make of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So okay, that really was hard for me. And then I'm not saying this is what it was, but associated like, okay, I'm 20 at the time, 21. I don't have any money or very little money. It's kind of like the year before I started to make some money, and I think this had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I had kind of got out of my phase of getting in trouble and was starting to get, at least in school, like take it a little more seriously. But that happened and I'm like, okay, like
I got to do something.
I don't want to be poor my whole life,
yeah.
You know? And so that really drove me. And for a period of time, I was like, okay, I'm going to go make a bunch of money and I'm going to go win her back. And it didn't go that way. And I'm grateful for that, even though she's a very nice, you know, girl and all that. But it drove me for a while. And that was like an objective, you know, that I had to go, like, that I had more of a meaning behind wanting to advance. And so that really probably carried me. I haven't talked about this much, but like, so my first job in recruiting, I, like, the night I got promoted, smashed. Not a good scenario. Smashed. Who do you think I called? Smashed, like, stumbling around Royal Oak.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't a good idea. Didn't go well for me. But, like, and I was frustrated about it after because, like, what, I don't know what I was expecting at the time. But it was a driver for me, and it probably continued to be a driver for me for another couple of years, and then I moved on. But, like, hey, man, like, use what you got, right? And, you know, that was a scenario that really motivated me at a young age to tie something like, hey, man, this is why I want to be successful. Like, I don't want to be in the situation where I get left for some, like, rich dude or something like that. So,
yeah, you want
to That's not a really healthy way to look at that. Like, hopefully, and that's not even what happened in the scenario, to be clear.
Right.
But that's what I associated in my head.
Yeah.
And,
but it drove you to that achievement, right?
It was part of it.
Yeah.
I'd be lying to you if that was a major factor early on for me. And so hopefully this stuff matures for us and changes. And so that was a driver. Well, once I started to make some money, I wanted people to know it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And I say that now, like, somewhat embarrassed because, one, look, I'm all for having nice stuff. I think that, like, that's completely fine. I think it's awesome if people have nice stuff or
totally
are
agree.
Motivated that way or anything like that. But at the time, like, my main motivation was just, like, I wanted you to know it. I wanted you to know it.
Okay.
So, you know, I started to buy watches and, you know, I got into watches.
Okay.
I still have a couple of my first watches. I don't wear them a lot, but they mean something to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, you fast forward a couple of years and the first time that I had, like, accumulated, not made $1 million in a year, but, like, accumulated over $1 million.
Yep.
There was a watch I really wanted. It was a gold Yachtmaster 2.
Okay.
And I remember the first time I looked at it, I was wearing sweatpants in the store. And at the time, they wouldn't take it out of the
case
and show it to me. They wouldn't. And, oh, I remember that too. I didn't buy it from there, by the way, when I got it.
Yeah, so, good.
So about a year later, so that was, I was starting to make some money.
Yep.
But it wasn't time for that one yet. And about a year later, I was like, okay, like I crossed this point where I had made, you know, this much and I'm going to buy that watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it, but that was like an anchor at the time.
Got
so
it.
Fast forward a few. So that was about 2.5 years into our first business. Fast forward another 2 years and I find myself getting ready to go to a deposition as we were basically breaking that business apart.
Okay.
And this is right before we started Spark. And for the, like, now doing a deposition to me is almost like fun. Like, okay, let's go.
Right.
And I still do this on depositions to this day. I'll get to that in a minute maybe. But so I'm nervous for this deposition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going up against a lawyer who does this all the time.
Yep.
Right. And, well, I had made some money and had some success. I had that as an anchor. It was a new situation for me, and there's a lot of unknown moving into the future.
Season, yeah.
So I'm getting ready, and I've got my suit on because, you know, it's in person.
Yep.
Some of my last couple depths have been on Zoom, which is way less intimidating, but by the way. So I'm looking, and I'm getting ready, and I decide, I'm like, I'm wearing my gold Rolex to this thing because
–
I look at that watch and I'm like, okay, yeah, like you bought this when you crossed over $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
in income that you made. But when you look at that watch, you know all of the hard stuff that went into getting to that point.
What you overcame
to be there. It wasn't about the $1 million so much. It was about the person that I became and all the stuff in between over really a 6-year period, or I'm sorry, a 4.5-year period of being in the staffing industry and how hard I had worked in that time to learn this craft, right, and get good at it, and all the extra hours, all that, when I look at that watch, all that emotion come back to me. And not every time I wore it.
Right.
A lot of times up to that point, I just wanted to go out and impress.
Yeah, yeah, flaunt impress, it, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Yeah. And it impresses guys more than girls, by the way. So, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's a whole nother thing. But that day, I'm like, I'm wearing this because I know all the stuff I overcome and I'm uncomfortable in this situation. But I know that if I was able to do all that, I'm going to get through this too.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there and I wore that watch that day. And I was probably trembling at some point. I remember just, I'd like kind of look down at it and, maybe that's cheesy or people don't like that, but that was my first. I didn't even know I was doing it at that point, but it was absolutely an anchor for me in that moment.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because for me right now, you know, kind of transitioning through different spaces and things like that. For years upon years, I kept in my office an award I got, you know, our senior year of high school, and it was, you know, to most people, it wasn't a really big thing. And honestly, it didn't become a big thing to me until after my dad passed away. And the award was for, it was like the citizen of the year in Macomb County, like student citizen of the year. Now, you remember, but like I was involved in all these different things, you know, like I was helping at this and this and this and this. And I remember getting this award and seeing my mom and dad just light up, like the aspect of like, this is what we want for our kid, right? And both of us have shared before on this podcast and others, like we're really hard workers. You know, we have knowledge and wisdom, but we're not just like these geniuses. Mm-hmm. And I remember that face that my, you know, both of my parents had when I got the citizen of the year for my volunteer service and things like that. And to most people, they're like, EJ, that was, you know, 20 years ago. But I still keep that in my office because I look back at it. Now, for you, it sounds like you've kind of narrowed that down to a couple of different things, Aaron. And there's this meaning behind either making a purchase or going on a trip. What do those things look like for you now, you know, 10 years later?
I still like tangible things to it.
Okay.
That way I can tie it back. Now, like, I'm not knocking, you could do those other things, right? But I like to be able to look at it at, you know, if I have something on or if I'm driving something or like whatever it is that I can get in a frame of mind. Like, a lot of times it's when I'm going through something difficult.
Okay.
And think, you know, I might look at something and say, man, like, okay, you worked through difficult things in the past.
Yeah.
You might also look at it and say, man, like, this problem now you were praying for, like, at this point. And so it's a good frame of mind in both ways. I think what's been interesting for me is, although, like, okay, it's still like a tangible thing. Like, it, for me, it's probably a watch. I've done car before, like even our house that we live in now, and the house that we're building now are tied to these types of things.
Okay.
But the interesting part isn't about that. It's about that the first one I gave you.
Yeah.
Like, well, that was early on.
Right.
And what you would notice about that, well, that was all about me.
Yeah.
My personal income.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm not knocking that.
Right.
But there's been that evolution to that. And I look at those things now in my last couple. It's not, I am a part of it, right? But it's something way bigger than just me. And I think that's good. That shows an evolution, and that's how it should be. Like, it's not about Aaron doing X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
It's about our companies. You know, so my one of my last ones ties to like us reaching our igniter.
Okay.
You know, we bought this building, mm-hmm. you know, that we're sitting in, right? And I bought a watch at that time.
Yeah.
The building has multiple partners.
Right.
When we bought into some pizza franchises, right, I you know, have an anchor for that.
Okay.
And, you know, okay, cool. Like, I bought part of that. I have some partners in that. And I think what's my favorite part of that story is we brought someone that was working in these stores into the team. And it's their first time being an entrepreneur. They're part of building all these stores, but they weren't an entrepreneur. And now they are.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I know they're surrounded by a solid team that can be a great mentor to them to continue to grow.
Yeah.
And so it's, just a couple it's examples evolved
and of grown it. Within yeah. that. I love hearing that because I think that that's how, you know, we're designed. We're designed to be able to grow. And as we grow, those desires, why we do things, certainly change within that. You know, and I just want to clarify for people too, not only you and your family personally, but also your companies, you're very generous outside of here. It's, you know, it's not the first thing that you do. It's like, oh, I cross this and I go buy something. I know that your family is, you know, generous to charities, to, you know, the faith that you have and things like that. It's not just all about you. And that's a key part of your growth that I've seen. And now I'm, you know, hearing firsthand as you do this. Has that trickled down into your family life as well? Like, does your sweet wife, Anna, have those anchors as well that she sets, or are you starting to develop that within your kids?
She has some,
yeah.
You know, she has, you know, different, you know, benchmarks, and like she likes purses, right?
Okay.
That's something she likes.
Got it.
She crossed a few things and bought herself a nice purse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know? So she has those as well. I'd say we're in the genesis of building that into our girls.
Okay.
I don't know that,
they're old enough just yet.
Well, I don't know if they're old enough or not. We haven't really started that. It's something we're really working with our 5-year-old on how we're, you know, I don't think we've done a bad job
right.
by any moment, but we're trying to improve as parents. Like, that was our first run at being parents.
Yeah.
You know, I tie a lot of stuff back to business and our teams, right? And, you know, we're trying to evolve in that. Like, we're doing a parenting class right now.
Yeah.
And I'm loving it. You know, we're 2 weeks in and everyone's like, oh, what's wrong? Why are you going to the class? And I'm like, well, nothing's wrong.
Right.
Like, we want to work at it. We've never done this.
Yeah.
Like, and we were talking on, you know, our company's podcast about training and development and continuous improvement.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm obsessed with that stuff on the business side. Well, man, if I get really good at that and don't figure out how to apply that or use the same principles on the family side, I'm going to fail in life.
Yeah.
Because what's important, like, this is important to me. It's vastly important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so are they.
Yeah.
You know, and if I fail on that side, I've failed.
Okay.
You know, so that's just wired into us on both sides. And I like it that way. I think that's the right way to approach it.
Yeah.
So,
okay. I'm going to wrap up with this today because I think both of these, you know, the aspect of, you know, goal versus objective, attaching meaning to those, you know, objectives, and then anchoring that around, you know, either a, I'll just call it an item. It could be, you know, a trip. It could be a note that you write yourself. Whatever that is. Go ahead.
I don't know that I anchor to like notes or things like that, right?
Okay.
But if you look in my office here or at home specifically, because a lot of them are pretty personal maybe, so mm-hmm. I don't have them just – some of like the most important things to me are notes or
yeah.
letters or cards that I've like those are some of the most important things to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that's necessarily an anchor, but like that is something like It's like, if you looked around my office, I got like all these, like, what's this? What's, oh, it's, well, it's words someone, you know, wrote.
Yeah.
So that means something. So I don't know.
Okay.
Something interesting you said there.
No, that's good. I don't know if you want to share this, so I'm going to risk it, and you don't have to, but, can you just give us super brief, one, you know, just like that always stands out to you, meaning attached to an objective, and then will you share with us an anchor? So maybe in the meaning aspect, it's like a story of, you know, like seeing someone's life improve, or, you know, those type of things, or, you know, maybe it's even you personally.
Sure.
And then, you know, again, I don't want to bring you back to that flaunty, you know, Aaron that you feel like you've grown so much out of. And obviously we've seen, but like, I would love to know what you feel like is the most epic anchor that you ever, you know, rocked or you ever got. And maybe that's uncomfortable for you, but I don't want to step on toes too much, but can you just give us some on each of those?
Sure. I mean, one that's top of mind is, you know, the last igniter that we crossed.
Okay.
And, you know, when we set that igniter, you know, we do like annual planning, you know, we do a couple meetings, and this is some of the stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, it's the focal point is setting up the planning for the next stage, you know? So within that, we were laying out like, okay, so here's the igniter, you know, here's the objective.
Yeah.
But we also put up like an org chart, and we've done this again on the next one that we're working on crossing.
Yep.
I'm just as excited for that.
Yeah.
But what this is a different type of thing, but like, this is definitely the meaning to the objective, right? Because it was a, like, we pulled up this org chart and now we've done it again, like, it excites me to even think about it. But so anyways, we pull up this org chart and, you know, we had talked about this number, and I'm like, here's one of the reasons why this number is important to me. 'Cause when we cross this number, here's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And what was on the board, was additional executive positions.
Okay.
And so we crossed that number.
Yep.
And in lockstep across in that number, actually a little bit early, which tends to happen as it relates to like momentum and stuff, like you get on momentum. And
yeah.
So when we crossed that number, we created all of these roles that we talked about.
Got it.
And we were able to do that.
That's awesome.
And so we've now done that again and attached some different things, like on this next one, like, hey, part of why this is important to me, because I look at this role here, in this role here, this would be a new role, this would be a new role. I think the comp doubles on this role.
Yep.
Like, and we're able to talk about all that stuff. And that's cool. And again, it's a, like the fact that we've done that before and actually executed on it for the people that were in that first one, I think it helps them to understand, like, man, they're not just, you know, he's not just saying that. Like, no, this actually happened this last time. This is going to happen when we do this.
Right, right.
Like, let's go do it.
Yep.
So that would be the story that I would tell.
I love that.
Like, just the, man, like, this is why we're going to do this, and here's what's going to happen within we do it. And you got to be careful with that. And if you don't know something's going to happen, you don't want to overstate things. You
okay.
know, like, I think this is going to happen at this point, but there's a lot that remains to be unseen. So more to that.
Yeah.
But that's, you asked for a story.
Yeah,
so that's top of mind.
That's a great one. I want to change my question just so I can have an out for you in case. And I don't want to be, you know, too forward. But what was the most significant anchor that, you know, it sounds like for you, there's some aspect that it's around purchasing. So let's say I don't need the most expensive, or, you know, I don't want you to have to put that out there like that. Mm-hmm. But what is the most significant one to you? Is it the Yachtmaster 2?
No, I mean, it's hard to tell you which one's the most significant.
Because they all have a chunk.
Because they all, you know, they're different seasons of the process or experience or the journey. The the one that I visualized the most, I'll just tell you or thought about the most was the AP brick that I bought.
Okay.
So I bought that. It's the only aftermarket watch I've ever bought, which means, you know, I paid more than MSRP, which I don't recommend.
Yeah.
In this case, you know, if you buy the right watch, like they should hold that value or appreciate more. It depends on the time. Watch prices for all the watch aficionados out there are not, like, they're lower right now, but I'm not looking to flip that watch.
Yeah.
I've never flipped one of my watches that I've used as an anchor, and that's why, because they have meaning to me.
Right.
I misspoke. We talked about this in our prep.
Yeah.
That's not true. I did that one time, and I regretted it.
Got
it. The watch that I bought the first time I made over $100,000, I did sell.
Okay.
Because I got offered more than I paid for it after having it for, I think, a decade.
Hmm.
I sold it because I didn't wear it that much. And I was doing this more and more, but, like, I'm more, like, intentional about this now. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I'll ever sell one of my, like, anchor purchases again for this reason.
Yeah.
I regret that.
Okay.
I wish, one, it was a really cool watch.
Yeah.
It was a Breitling.
Okay.
And I just liked the watch.
Yeah,
it was
fun
to wear. But I'm like, man, I shouldn't have sold that. And, like, okay, I could go buy a similar, it's not the same style because they update the models and stuff like that. But I'm like, it's not the same. It's not the one.
Right.
So I haven't done that, but, like, I don't know. I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Because it meant more to me than getting, you know, $500 more than I paid for it.
Right.
Even though it's like, man, I wore this for a decade. I'm getting it offered more than I paid for it. Like, that's a good, it is a good deal, but it's about the meaning.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. I love that. Well, Aaron, I think there's a ton of great knowledge that you shared even today. It's got my head thinking. I hope I didn't look like I was spacing out, you know, as I was listening to you. But my head's spinning. And, you know, one of the things I love about this podcast, as we've continued to develop it, continue to plan it, is being able to not only hear your mindset, but also have watched it, you know, be proven over the years. You know, you don't just, share all the wins. You share the things that are setbacks. I love how you even, you know, just a minute ago recalled, like, actually, I did do that once.
Yeah.
Just super transparent. And that's part of success. It's part of growing that. And today, I hope that people who are listening take that as a nugget to spark their success and continue to move on. And today, whether you're thinking about anchoring achievements to key objectives, you're thinking through the aspect of goals versus objectives, attaching meaning or anchoring it with something. I hope that each of you truly are moved by this. We would love to hear maybe something that you've anchored as you've hit an objective, or you attach meaning to as you cross those, what we call igniters here. We hope that you'll tune in again. Make sure you like, share, subscribe to the Sparking Success podcast with Aaron Opalewski. We hope you have a great day, and God bless you guys. Aaron, thanks again.
Thanks, CJ.